We continue with our series on the subject of the fear of the Lord. And this morning, we are going to take up a very challenging book. We're going to read 42 chapters of the book of Job. Is that even possible? Well, of course, we are not going to actually read the entire book, but we are going to look at relevant chapters so that we can see how that they can tie in on this subject of the fear of the Lord and how that works. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you will teach us how we can understand the fear of the Lord and to make that real in our life. And we pray that you will teach us how we can actually develop this till it becomes a very cardinal, a very strong part of our life. We pray for your grace, your mercy to understand this word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's turn to the book of Job chapter 1 first, and I need to take you through a whole series of thoughts. Beginning with chapter 1, we look at verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. I know that we have got a job, but when we call a person's name, you get a good job. It becomes a little bit difficult. Whether is that a good job or is it a good job? So we call him Job. Okay? And that man was blameless, one, upright, two, feared God, three, shun evil, four. How do you read a text like this? Was repeated in verse 8, there is none like him on the earth, a blameless man, an upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. We call that reputation, which is a good word. I mean, every time we understand life, we all ultimately develop a reputation. Whatever that reputation is, it's going to stay there. Right? And so Job earned a very good reputation. And reputations being what they are, sometimes not exactly what they are when tested. Right? So sometimes people hear of, it's a good place to eat by reputation. A good doctor, reputation, that is always a nightmare. Here is a person who is sick, goes to his doctor, medicine was given, not well. The person changes to another doctor, slightly different medication, feels better, but not well. Finally, come to the third person. The bug has already died out by itself. The third person you went to, medicine, different, slightly, turns out well. Wow, this one very good doctor. So the first two, not very good doctors. The third one earns a good name by default. That's how reputation works sometimes. It's not all that real. I think we all understand this. So a certain school has a reputation. And you go down there and guess what? It's not all that great after all. This applies restaurants, applies school, applies university, applies country. And it's all by reputation. That's how it is. We are known by one's reputation. That is the real challenge. But if the fear of the Lord, the construct here is a bit different. Four things to look at, right? Blameless, upright, shuns God, shuns evil, fears God, right? So that is your construct. One, two, three, four. How real is that reputation? As long as we are not tested, as long as we are not pushed, as long as we are not pressed, you know what? That reputation looks all right. But here is a different thing. Now, we are going to move on to the next word, and that word is called a reality check. Let's take a look at this whole idea of a reality check. And a reality check is not textbook. Reality check is real life. Okay, what are the things that we ought to look at? Chapter 1, let's take a look. So Satan comes along, and God, and he said to God, why does Job fear God? Well, I know why Job fears God. He does not fear God for nothing. Job fears God because, God, you have made a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side. God, you have protected him. Two, you have blessed the work of his hands. You have provided for him. His possessions have increased in the land. Okay, here's how it works. Stretch out your hand, touch all he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. That is a very harsh reality check. And sometimes that is true. Why do we talk about faith in God? Because he has blessed us. Because he has protected us. Because he has provided for us. Because he has met our needs. Let's apply a reality test, a reality check, and see what happens. Okay? Verse 13. There was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided them, took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Reality check. Suddenly suffer financial reversals. Well, move on further. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven, burned up the sheep and the servants, consumed them. Blow number two, calamity. While he was still speaking, a third came along. The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, took them away. Yes, kill the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Three calamities, one after the other. And while he was still speaking, another came. Your sons and your daughters were eating, drinking wine. Suddenly a great wind came across the wilderness, struck the four corners of the house. It fell on the young people, and they are dead. Still fear God? Still talk about faith in God? When calamities come, reality check. Can you still speak of faith in God? You see, the fear of the Lord is not something that we want to take lightly. It's easy to speak about faith in God, fear of God, as long as we are not tested. Haven't you watched as we grow older, when you are younger, when you are still working, you are still earning, you watch. The spending power is very, go ahead, spend. With every year, we are not working, watch. The spending becomes less. We are reluctant to spend anything because there is no income coming in. And we are very careful about everything. Watch. And this is not even a test. It's just income limited. And then we begin to realize if we spend, if we look at old age, now people live longer, we can't afford to live. You can't afford to retire. Reality check again. But this is really severe. If there is severe financial reversal, will you still come to faith in God? Will you still speak our faith in God? Will you still attend the Shangri-La event? If there is loss in a family, if there is death in a family, if you die, there's nothing to talk about. But those you love, your sons and your daughters, and they die. Reality check. Will you still speak of faith in God? And they're not easy things to answer because there is an emotional involvement there. I still remember when my little older granddaughter was still quite young then, and she had to be called that a walking pneumonia problem. It was there, having a fever that wouldn't go away. And I held her in my arms. I didn't know how I felt. How do you pray? With tears. Tears just come. And you tell the Lord, I'm willing to give my life for her. That's what love is. And when it is hit hard like this, can you still speak of faith in God? That is always a challenge. It's not about people who are older dying. We all accept that. And for that matter, our own death, we accept that. But it's hardest to have is when we see the reality of a loved one dying who is younger, and you just think, wow, this person has got life to live. I've lived my time. I'm done. I'm ready to go. But what if another person is still young? What happens then? Reality check. See, this is important for us to take a look at. And so the first test, well done. Look at Job. Job arose, tore his robe, as a point of grief. Like Ezekiel, like Jeremiah, shaved his head, fell to the ground. The next word is astonishing. He worshipped. Really? You can still worship? Think about this. And then this is what he said, it is wisdom. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. I came with nothing, I will leave with nothing. That is wisdom. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. The Lord has provided, the Lord has decided to take away. What's my response? Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is initial. That's wonderful. That's something really, really great. Chapter 2. Well, Satan came, and God said to Satan, look, have you considered my servant Job? None like him. Blameless, upright, fears God, shuns evil. And you know what? He holds fast to his integrity. Satan retorts, and he says, skin for skin. Sure, you can take away person's wealth. I can live with less wealth. Okay, maybe someone died. I can cope with their grief. But stretch out your hand, touch his bone and his flesh, and see what happens. Okay? And so Satan, and he struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. He was now physically struck. He was now physically ill. Can you take it? You see, sometimes we look in terms of the sufferings we have. We can suffer financial losses. We can suffer even death in the family. In time to come, we will understand it. One of the hardest things to do is to cope with ill health. Painful ill health. What is the cause of this thing? And there would be no doctors who will tell you what's happening. All right? Reality check. We'll see what happens now. Okay? And the wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Why don't you do something? Curse God and die because he will strike you." In other words, give up your faith. Quit talking about fear of God. Shun evil. Just quit. That was how the wife reacted. And Job's reply, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? Shall we not accept adversity?" Can you take adversity? See, in our life, in our progression, we always plan for upgrade. We always plan upskill. We always plan, I'm going to upgrade further. I'm going to do better. So I'm going to start with my small little Swift car, and I'm going to end up with a BMW. We seldom reverse down to going down to Swift, or worse, bicycle. We seldom plan for reversals. We do not know how to cope with adversity. Reality check again. How are we coping if things come? Okay, I hope it won't happen, but next week you go to work, you receive notice, you are going to lose your job. Will you come to church next Sunday? Would you still come? Okay, you got a divorce on your hand. Okay, the children don't like you. They fail, and they no longer relate to you. Will you hold fast to your integrity? Will you hold fast to your faith? Will it still be real? That is reality check. Are we still at a real stage yet? No. Stages. One, we begin with reputation. Two, there is reality check. What's next? That is the question. And so from chapter 3, other words, you watch Job. See, it's easy for a moment to say, "Bless be the Lord, he gives, he takes." That's it. And it's nice to say. Watch the reality as he seeps in. Watch the reality as it becomes more and more pronounced. Chapter 3. Right? And after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. We call this a soft curse. You heard of it? There are expletives. Some people don't like expletives because expletives are bad. So we don't say those words. But we say other things. Right? So you know what they say? So out there, they use soft expletives like this one. "Cursed be the day I was born. May the day perish on which I was born. And the night it was said, a male child is conceived. May that day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor the light shine upon it. May darkness and the shadow of death claim it. May a cloud settle on it. May the blackness of the day terrify it." And he went on and on and on. He was starting to crack. See, reputation is not enough. Reality check may end up seeing you crack. Now, not totally shattered into pieces, just crack. But crack is still crack. It's no longer what it is. Watch. And so he began. And then his friends, he had three friends plus one, four friends. Right? And so chapter 3, he speaks. Now, first friend was called Eliphaz the Temanite. And then he says to him, if one attempts a word with you, will you become weary? Who can withhold himself from speaking? You have instructed many. You have strengthened your weak hands. Your words have upheld people. You have strengthened the feeble knees. And now it comes upon you, and you are weary. Fear the Lord. What if weariness comes? His friend was right, because Job's faith in God was now making him literally weary. But of course, they made all kinds of things remark against him which were not true. So chapter 6, Job replies, but oh, that my grief were fully weighed. If only you understand how grieved I am. My calamity laid with it on the scales. In other words, I've suffered so much reversal. If you were to weigh, they would be heavier than the sands of the seas. Wow. See? So now he magnifies his grief. They are heavier than the sands of the sea. How could that be possible? He was obviously weary. Right? And so he began to defend himself. And this went on and on and on with three friends. So they will come to speak to him. Job will rebut them. A second one come along and rebuts Job. And Job gonna rebut him back. And so it is a real merry-go-round. This is not a memorial service. This is a free-for-all. And this is where people are speaking all kinds of these things, accusing, defending, finger-pointing, saying, and denying, and so on and so forth. It is a terrible situation. How was Job bearing up? Chapter 19. Job answered, Bildad the Shuhite. What? And he says, how long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times you have reproached me. Altogether, 10 times, a whole lot of them, you have reproached me. You are not ashamed. You have wronged me. If indeed I have erred, my error remains with me. Then he went on, know then that God has wronged me. He has surrounded me with his net. Wow. This is now a more severe crack. The reputation is not standing up. And it's a real challenge. If sometimes when we look at reputations, you know, pastors, we have a reputation. We are strong all the time. And you begin to realize we're not as strong as you think. You're not as wise as you think. See? The reality checks are very real. And Job tells us how he copes with this. Right? So they all their friends went on until a younger friend also came, and he speak in chapter 33. Right, chapter 32, the wrath of Elihu, the son of Berakhel, the Buzite, he was aroused against Job. Chapter 32, and his wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends, his wrath was aroused because they found no answer and yet had condemned Job. this is an angry young man who is full of his own ideas, full of his own wisdom, and he is going to attempt to do something his three friends have failed. And he is speaking with anger. His wrath was aroused. We see this, right? Wrath of Elihu. And then we read, and because they were years older, Elihu waited to speak to Job. And then his wrath was aroused. Verse 5, again, the idea of wrath was aroused. 1, 2, look at that. And so Elihu, I am young in years, you are very old. I was afraid. I dared not declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak. Multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. He is now criticizing Job. You're not all that great. You're not all that wise, in other words. Right? Now, I listen. I will declare my opinion. In fact, I waited for my words. I listened to your reasonings while you search out what to say. I paid close attention. No one convinced Job or answered his words. Right? They are dismayed. Answer no more. Words escape them. So I waited because they did not speak. Now, verse 20, I will speak so that I may find relief because I'm so angry inside. If I don't speak, I find no relief. That is Elihu's position. Amazing man. Right? So please, Job, hear my speech. Listen to all my words. Now I open my mouth. Right? Verse 4, he even claimed, the Spirit of God has made me. And breath of the Almighty gives me life. If you can answer me, you have spoken. And then he went on. So he said, Job, you said, I am pure without transgression. I am innocent. There is no iniquity in me. Verse 12, look, in this you are not righteous. And so he goes on a tirade and he scolds Job too. So all this from chapter 3 all the way to chapter 37. Four friends attack Job. What is the end of it all? Will that create more fear? Will that create more faith? Frankly, no. So now we must move on to the third word. From reputation to reality check. And the third word is redress. Now it will take God to correct Job. God has to redress the things that are wrong. And God does it marvelously. Take a look, chapter 38, all the way to 41. So God answered him out of the whirlwind. And he says, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? When a person speaks, and the person speaks words without knowledge, that is darkness. And all of them have spoken words without full knowledge, and it is nothing but darkness. See, at the end of it all, you need to redress this. Prepare yourself like a man. I will question you. You will answer me. So when God raised, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me. Were you there? You're not. So what makes you think that you know so much? That was the problem. So God has to redress this matter here, addressing this problem. Chapter 39, do you know the time when the wild mountain goats bear young? Chapter 40, the Lord answered Job, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. Chapter 40, Job answered the Lord, behold, I am vile.
What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, I will not answer. Twice I will proceed no further. That is where he begins the address, the redressing, the correction begins. Sometimes we think we know, but we don't. Sometimes we speak words that seem to be knowledge, but it lacks wisdom. We don't have the knowledge, we don't have the skill, we don't have the experience, we don't have it all. Let's not pretend and say that we have it all when we don't. That was the first statement. Not satisfied, God went on further. Raise more questions. Prepare yourself like a man. I will question you. You shall answer me. Will you annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? This was what Job was doing. He cracked. So when we talk about the old statement, as patient as Job, you have not read Job properly. He was not patient. He cracked under pressure. The reality check is that his faith, his fear of God is not as strong as intact. It was initial, it was not intact. It was not as strong as you imagine. And we will have our faith and fear of God tested too. There may be reversals, there may be health problems, maybe challenges, maybe difficulties. Challenge is, how will we measure up? Chapter 42 now. Now this is where we have from reputation to reality check to redress. And now we come to the final word which we want to go to. This time is real. See, we want to have a faith and fear in God that is, at the end of it all, real. What is real? When it is tested. When it is proven. When we have grown further. This is what Job said. And Job answered the Lord. I know you can do everything. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? And so he replies, therefore I have uttered what I did not understand. I thought I was right, I was wrong. In other words, he confessed, I was wrong. Go on further. Things too wonderful for me which I did not know. And sometimes we speak out of turn. Sometimes we speak things that we think we know, but actually we are wrong. The problem is we refuse to admit it. And so the faith and the fear in God is not as intact as you realize, or as you think. What does God really want from us? Something that is real. And this is what we need to have. And so Job said to the Lord, listen, please, let me speak. You said, I will question you, you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. And now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. This is the fear of the Lord. As long as we have that foolishness of pride, as long as we think we are strong, as long as we imagine we are okay, the reality check will show us just how weak we really, really are. What is that fear of the Lord? 42nd chapter of the book of Job is this. We repent in dust and ashes. That's all God wants from us. Sometimes we go through difficulties. Sometimes we go through pain. Sometimes we go through hardship. Sometimes we go through trial. Sometimes we go through adversity. Sometimes we lose. What's the best thing to do? Take Job 42. Job 42 is the way to read the book of Job. All the earlier chapters are just a lot of theory stuff. The theories of suffering, theories of setbacks, theories of all kinds, but they avail nothing. You just make people angry, you make yourself frustrated, you make yourself even more upset. What's the best thing to do in the fear of the Lord that is real? Let's repent in dust and ashes. Let me humbly accept who God is, what He has said, what He has done, and just simply understand it and say, Lord, you know what you are doing. I don't. And then move on. This is a real fear of God in life. So there are four movements. One, reputation. Two, reality check. Three, redressing. Four, real. This is what we need to find. A real fear of the Lord. And once it is there, watch what happens now. Well, God has to address all His friends. My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends. This was said to Eliphaz. Okay? Now, I want you to go down there and ask Job to pray for you. What will God do in chapter 42, verse 10? Okay? The Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. In fact, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers and sisters and those who had been acquaintances, they all came and they consoled him and comforted him. And everybody gave him a little gift to say sorry, to say we are with you and everything else. But Job, at the end of it all, came off with a real understanding of the fear of the Lord. See, the fear of God is not something you learn in theory. You can define it, you can prescribe it, you can do whatever you want with it. But you have to be tested. That is the real test. And that is something that we need to ask ourselves. Have we understood this fear of the Lord in real life? If you really understand it, you will literally bow before God in worship. You will say, I repent in dust and ashes. And you will not allow the anger, the justification, the attempt to explain things, to explain yourself. They serve no purpose whatsoever. And so as we talk about the fear of the Lord, let me warn you that whatever faith and the fear of the Lord you speak of will be tested. And my prayer for you, for all of us, is that we are going to trust the Lord. Not just in theory, not just initial, but our faith and our fear in God will be intact at the end of it all. 10 years later, still intact. 40 years later, still intact. In the meantime, upheavals, up and down, all over the place. But our faith in God remains unshaken. But we come away humbler in spirit, in understanding, in life. This would be the fear of the Lord that God would respect. Think about this. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the example of Job. And we fear very much that our own reputation of faith and fear is just reputation, just words. We pray that you will help us to see how we can have our faith recast, redressed, until we have something real and solid. Speak to our hearts deeply, we pray. And this morning, we pray that you will help us to desire very much for a faith and a fear that is solid and real. hear this, our prayer, and bless this offering that we give. And Father, we pray that you will comfort Billy and family during this time of bereavement. Pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.